There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your host, and I'm thrilled to have you join us for episode 318. Today, we're stepping into the dynamic world of the multi-talented artist known as Keenan. Renowned for his versatility as an actor, singer, and model, Keenan has graced the screens in notable roles on such films like Love, Simon and the Divergent series. He played Wally West in the TV series The Flash, and he made waves with his debut record Rainbow Boy. Now he's captivating audiences once more with his incredible new mixtape, The Heart Defense. In this episode, we're honored to have Keenan join us as we explore the inner workings on his latest mixtape. We'll uncover the secrets behind the creation of these captivating songs, and we'll gain insights into his collaborative process with various producers. Discovering Keenan's unique creative methods and the approaches he adopts for songwriting does promise to be an intriguing one. We're also going to dive into the realm of collaboration with Keenan today, discovering his wish list for future musical collabs and unraveling how he brings these dreams to life. We'll also explore the fascinating interplay between his music and acting careers and discussing whether and how these creative paths kind of intersect. To end our conversation with Keenan, we'll also get a sneak peek into his plans for bringing his music to the live arena, offering audiences a glimpse into the magic that he creates on stage. Now, this conversation was such a delight, and Keenan could not have been a more lovely guest. We very much want to thank Keenan for his time, and we also want to say a massive thank you to Rhiannon at Positive Feedback for her help with today's episode. Before we embark on this captivating conversation, please make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your preferred podcast platform. Stay tuned for our latest episodes by following us across all of our social media channels. All details can be found within the show notes of today's episode. So let's get into it and enter into the world of Keenan.
We don't need to hide and seek. This baby, now the coast is clear. So sit down, watch me turn.
Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Keenan. Hello, sir. How are you going?
Hello, good sir. Yeah, I'm doing really, really great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And thank you so much for asking. I very much appreciate that we're getting to chat today because I know it's an incredibly exciting time for you. There's a brand new mixtape out. We're going into December. Firstly, congrats on this brand new mixtape, The Heart Defense. It is out today. I'm incredibly stoked for you. Yeah, exactly. How are you feeling with these songs coming out?
I'm stoked. I mean, I make so much music and I do a lot of hoarding of music, you know, a lot of creating and not really putting it out there. And this mixtape was really an exercise for me to let go. A lot of these songs I made in my room. Of course, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be a perfectionist, but we ended up like, you know, working on them a lot, you know? And it's been really cool how it's developed. I love this sound. You know, I love how much further into the R&B world I've gotten to go. And I can't wait for people to just hopefully dance to them and feel to them. Yeah.
I think that you'll be finding a lot of fans will be going through quite a I feel like roller coaster is almost a played out cliche, but it seems like the most apt word to use in this circumstance. There's such a beautiful kind of cross section of feelings and emotions that kind of have gone through this mixtape. And so I think that what you just said, you want them to dance, you want them to feel. I think that you'll find that you'll get your intended response because this is a beautiful mixtape.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. It's definitely a roller coaster. I can't actually believe, yeah, that we're even talking about it and people are hearing it. It's a roller coaster of emotions. So many ups and downs, and that's you know, it's a project about love. And I don't know about you, but mine is not always linear. It's not always super steady.
Look, I can very much appreciate that. I think mine might be now, but I think I might have a few extra years on yourself. So I think that may be why.
I'll look forward to that.
With this brand new mixtape out, I know just a second ago you kind of said you've been hoarding, that there's a lot of music kind of on your computer, on your hard drive, wherever it may kind of sit. Do you get nervous when it does come to release day and it comes to kind of putting these songs out into the public, into the ether?
Yes, I absolutely overthink. I get overwhelmed. You know, it's either one of two things. I'm either super, super chill, really, really zen, or you know, it's like those last minute things. Also, I'll usually get different ideas that come just before. So, you know, in terms of like maybe how I want to talk about it, or, you know, extra things to promote it with. So it's just lots and lots of energy that's moving around. And a lot of people talk about putting music out like you're giving birth to a kid, you know. So if I can tell myself spiritually I'm going through labor, then I feel better.
I can very much appreciate that. It's quite funny you've said that, because like two or three guests that we've had over the last month, we've used a similar analogy, that these kind of are like living, breathing things that you're putting out into the world and wanting to see the life that they kind of take on. So yeah, I think it's a labor of love in a way.
100%. That's the only way to do it.
I was wondering if you might indulge me a little bit. I had such a brilliant time listening to the mixtape, and we were very lucky enough to listen to it before it has come out today. So thank you for that. I really loved Burn. I thought that was a incredible track, and I was wondering if you could take us behind either the inspiration or kind of the creation of how that song came about and how it got to the point that it is now on the mixtape.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool to hear, because it was one of the first songs that was made. It was made for another project. And then it was, I think I had gotten dumped the day before or that morning. It wasn't a majorly serious relationship, but I was investing in it, and you know, so it can either go when you're going through heartbreak, studio time is usually a blessing, because you're like, well, I have a lot of feelings to get out, you know? And I think the inspo for me, it always comes from, you know, getting into a safe space with the producer. And that one, it was just me. We didn't have any co-writers. So I worked with a producer named Snugs, and we'd collaborated a few times before in Los Angeles. And, he's, you know, we're also friends. So he's just like hearing my heart, you know, and then he starts cooking up a bit of a beat. It was quite unique. And, I love the depth that it has, energetically. And so I wanted to play and allow the feelings that I felt burned at the time, you know, my heart felt burned. And so also growing up with lots of Usher music and, you know, being like, cool, I'm going to make my own burn, you know? And it went from there. I won't detail too much of what specifics are specific to the relation dynamic, but it was super personal. I always write from a super personal place. But because it was the oldest one that I had, or one of the oldest I had, I almost then didn't even put it on the mixtape. I was actually questioning to take it off only like a week before submission. And then we shifted like some slight things, I think in the vocal arrangement, and suddenly I was like in love with it, and it became one of my favorites again. And that sometimes happens. You know, you've got a song and you've lived with the demo or particular versions for so long that you just need to find out what that thing is that's like pinching you and nudging you. You're like, what is not right for me? What is it?
Yeah.
And that can be a make or break. And it's really cool to hear you resonate with that song. A few people say that that's their favorites.
Oh, cool. I'm glad to know I'm not alone in my love of that track. And thank you very much for kind of sharing that with us, because I imagine it can be you're kind of bearing quite a bit of yourself, regardless of, I know you said, obviously you're not putting too much of the explicit personal detail of these relationships in these tracks, but in a way you are kind of bearing your soul and putting yourself on the line in terms of how you're feeling and getting those feelings across. Has that always been the case for you in your songwriting, like in terms of kind of speaking from the heart and really putting your true thoughts and emotions on the forefront?
Yes and no. I say when I was a kid and I was learning to write, because my mum and I would actually write poetry together, and that's how I started to fall in love with words. And so that was super cute, and she encouraged that in me. And then so when I started songwriting, it was super from the heart. But when I then got a bit older, you know, from 18, and I was writing songs or trying to write, I was really just trying to write like hit songs. I was trying to replicate everything and the structures of pop songs and make everything perfect. And sometimes I listen to those back and I'm like, wow, I did a good job. but a lot of the time I had a lot of blocks when writing about love. You know, I wasn't really navigating a deep space of honesty within myself in love. You know, I wasn't even properly dating openly as myself either. So there was a limit to where it could go. It wasn't until I did accept myself more and I found the freedom to write about loving men or loving whoever, you know, that my writing completely opened up. And that's when my first album was born properly. And now I love it. It's the only way I like to work. I mean, I do like to create songs and sort of imagine things as well. You get different stuff out of that. Or using, you know, being inspired by other people's stories, especially if you're writing with them. But I love to bear it out because it's my therapy. It's the way that I can actually make sense of the emotions. And I think it's all right because, you know, sometimes I listen back to the songs and I'm like, wow, I sound like a really vengeful lover. And or, you know, like I'm really harsh, you know, I'm really, or this is super one-sided. And sometimes I'll write from the perspective of the person I'm with and you know, what they might perceive me as. And I think it's important even to get out our emotional reactions because it's a human thing. So it's not always the way that I would maybe want to carry myself in life, but there's a storm of feelings going on in there, so, and they have to come out.
Of course. Well, I can only imagine the multitude of kind of feelings that can be conveyed in this record. And it is, sometimes it's funny, although you, and I mean you as the artist, not necessarily yourself as Keenan, but like there's this thing of sometimes that songwriting is trying to tell you how you're feeling, even if you're not feeling that explicitly or directly, which I think is a really interesting thing.
Yeah. Sometimes a lot of time I might be feeling very, very confused and a song will come out and it clarifies a particular feeling, or at least it takes part of a feeling and puts it in a place. It's as you're saying, like it sort of, it can show you how to frame something in a way.
Yeah, 100%. I know you mentioned the debut record there in that previous, what we were just talking about. Have you found that there's much change in how you wrote for Rainbow Boy, which did come out in 2020? And now with this new mixtape, has the, I guess, songwriting craft or method changed for you at all?
I think, I've collaborated more. The first album was predominantly with one producer. We lived together in LA at the time, and it was pretty rad. For the mixtape, it's a mixture of like 8 different people I've worked with. So naturally it's a different experience. The music is different, and I'm in a different space of expression. This is certainly a lot more relationship based and dating based. And, but I definitely switched up the writing styles. I was recording and writing a lot from my room. And sometimes it was like 2 a.m. or whatever. And I just hear the track for the first time, and then just, usually I will record my melodies like and do gibberish into my phone. And then I can hear certain words that I've sort of improvised, and there's a story there that I can start to thread. Mm. And for this one, it was still similar, but I just got straight on the mic and I would kind of just, you know, freestyle into the mic. And sometimes I just freestyle line by line, and not even try to make it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Necessarily connect, at least for the first, 30 minutes, just like spit a bunch of stuff out. And it definitely took my melodies to a different place. Mm-hmm. It was challenging for me, and but also I found that I was better at it than I thought, and I was discovering, I think there was more freedom in what I was saying too, because I never actually got my phone out and tried to type things down either. So you just constantly got that flow, the energy's constantly up, and was nice to then listen back to certain songs. There's a song on there, the opening song, called Don't Be Such A. And I just remember thinking, oh, I've never really written in this way before. And I don't think I've made melodies like that before either.
Is it a method you can see yourself kind of returning to for future songs? Writing?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I'd like to get good at quite a few different ones. But I think it was more fun. And I felt more brave, and I'd like to do it a bit more when, like, collaborating with others as well, and see how that goes. Because it's just like, instead of just trying to find the perfect line, it's like just go, just trust yourself, and let your mouth sort of run.
100%. I would. I'd love to know. As you said, there's been quite a few collaborators on this project. Love to kind of, I guess, discuss, is there anyone that you've got on a wish list of people that you'd love to write with, produce with, possibly feature or sing, duet, play with?
There's lots. I mean, I've always said I really want to get in the studio with James Fauntleroy. He's one of my main, like, inspirations in writing growing up. And he sort of worked with everybody in the biz, in particular in the R&B pop space, more R&B. It would be a dream to one day get to write with Frank Ocean. I think that would be so interesting. Mm. Tame Impala. I really want to do a song with Tame Impala. I have a song that I would like present to Kevin at some point if I ever get the chance to meet him. And then also I have a song that the next time I get to connect with him in a music space, I want to present to Troy Sivan. You never know how these things go, but it's like sometimes you hear something and you're like, I can really feel that. So we'll see.
Look, I love all of those. I think that having listened to this mixtape and also with oh my God, what is it called? The most recent Dua Lipa track that's produced by Kevin, Houdini.
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard that.
I think that's more him leaning into like still Tame Impala-ish, but more like a pop and almost R&B like kind of soundscape. Yeah. So I can definitely see that that working. So Kevin, come on, man. Like,
yeah.
We'll manifest using this podcast. We'll get yourself and Kevin in a room somewhere.
Yes, I know you're listening, Kevin. Much love.
I would love to discuss, I guess, your artistry as a whole, because you are an extremely fascinating and multifaceted kind of artist. There's the music aspect of yourself. People listening today might know you from your acting. I believe we've got yourself as Wally West in The Flash. I think that they might know you from Love, Simon. There's a multitude of projects. There was one we watched actually only the other week. It's The Finest Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, Deep Cut.
Deep Cut, yeah.
How do you find your music kind of fits in with everything else around? Because I imagine that being creative for a good percentage of your time can be kind of draining, but I wonder if one project potentially influences the other, or if you get inspiration or drive from one thing that then pushes another.
Yeah, I'll be honest and say there was definitely a point at which they felt like they were sort of competing, or I had them in such different worlds that I didn't know how to connect them. That took me a while, and it's only the past couple of years that I've really been learning how to have them complement each other more. And it all comes down to this, well, a lot of it comes down to the storytelling. So I really get pretty deep into my characters, both the characters that I might create in music, but also the characters that I get, you know, brought onto for film and television. And there's times when I've realized like certain characters' traits, I'll just be so into that world, I can't, you know, it might conflict with what I'm building in the music. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, this year there was a character I got to portray in Melbourne for a show called Swift Street that comes out next year. And I resonated with him so much. I'd never played anyone like him before, but there was, as much as they're very different, there was something also quite coherent with some of the internal struggles I was facing myself and also sharing with the music. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to learn a lot from this character, and I know that the world that I'll sort of be stepping into with him will also fuel my understanding of some of these questions I have. And I won't really feel as pushed and pulled, you know, energetically, because sometimes it drives me crazy. Sometimes I have lots of people in here, you know, super healthy. But yeah, as I get older, I'm learning how to navigate it better. And I think it all comes down to if you know, you're lucky to be able to just commit to roles that you truly, truly resonate with, and there's going to be a synchronization of those worlds. Even if they could be even polar opposites, but mm-hmm. that may even actually that may actually even help, you know, sort of put one down and now like go all the way the other. And sometimes it's pretty, like the day I wrapped that show, then I flew and then went straight on stage and had to become Keenan the singer. And like, it was a very different, it was funny to put those hats on.
It sounds like it definitely keeps you on your toes, if anything else. Think that is, could you ever see, I guess, at any point those two possibly merging, whether that's, I don't want to say, I think a musical might be too obvious, but even if it goes the other way, does it then take you into writing something that then ends up in the film or television world or like some form of cross-section?
Yeah, that's my dream. Yeah, so I'm working on that now, and also to include dance. You know, those are the three loves for me. So finding a way to, in the right kind of project, whether that's someone bringing me in for what they've envisioned or if it's something that I'm creating myself. Because I'm kind of, that's my thing. I'm like, well, if it's not being presented to me, I'm going to make it. So if I've got to make a film, you know, where I get to bring these worlds together in a way that I would have always appreciated growing up and would still like to see now, then I'll make that.
I absolutely love that. I think that's brilliant. Yeah, I absolutely love that, the drive. For this mixtape, I know you just said that you wrapped that show, went straight to flying and then hitting the stage. Can we expect some live shows in support of the mixtape and seeing you perform these songs?
Yes, 100%. I think the next one we have actually locked in is in London, Mighty Hoopla, and that's not till June. But I just did a show, and I just it was so awesome. I did Salt Festival, and it was I premiered some of the music, you know, for the first time while it was unreleased, which I love doing. And it was the first time putting together that show, so I said to my team, and they were pretty happy to hear it, but I was like, I finally feel like I have the show that I want to tour, you know? So, we're going to figure that out. Definitely want to go around Australia.
Beautiful.
Definitely want to get around Europe. Probably head back to the US my goal is to blow audiences away and just, you know, give them a show that they hopefully, will remember for a long time. And, with lots of energy the dream of touring is like, that's like the big thing for me.
I can very much appreciate that. I think that there's something always incredible about being in the studio, and as we almost touched on right at the start, in terms of like letting emotions run wild in terms of creating and allowing that to happen. But there is something really special when you can then take that to a room full of people and feel that connection and that they recognize what you're saying and you can recognize that they feel the emotion that you're feeling, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful exchange. It's also another chance to connect even deeper with the music. And I like to use the tools of dance and acting to really share those messages or take it even to a new place than what you have it when you're just sort of listening to the songs.
100%.
It's fun.
I know that there's quite a few people excited about new music for yourself, and so in turn I know that there's going to be, whenever those dates may come, I'm excited to see you touring around Australia and playing those shows. So I think that's very exciting to hear. Keenan, we would usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's kind of on high rotation for yourself?
I've been listening to an artist named Tizo Touchdown a lot.
Yes.
Have you heard of Tizo?
I've heard of Tizo and I've heard one track, but I've seen so much kind of around this artist, and I'm still trying to work out what is going on.
Lots of nails.
Yes, that's it.
he I actually thought he was super young because he just looks really young, but I think we're a very similar age. But he's just, he's got a voice that really cuts through, really unique writing style. He's getting a lot of love from really major artists. His album, sonically and also visually, is like such an eclectic blend of genres. And I think he's also like featured on 4 or 5 of Drake's songs in the new Drake album as well. Mm. But also his visuals are just insane. He's a real artist. So it's been cool to. I love coming upon anybody where you listen to them and you watch them and you just feel like the whole time, like, are they even allowed to do this? Like, you know, breaking so many rules, you know, it's a really good reminder. And I also enjoy the way that he talks about the process and the music.
Yes, 100%. I think there was, what was it? It is always interesting, just to quote yourself, like breaking the rules, I think, is always such an interesting thing for an artist. And when they do, I feel like it's usually something, whether it's image, whether it's a sound, that it's just not conforming to the stock standard. And although it seems kind of obvious, it works because that seems to resonate. I seem to be able to recall parts of his, what was it? I think he did an interview with Zain Lowe in relation to the record. And I remember that, but then there's artists that I love and listen to, and I could not remember part of their interviews based on maybe conforming more, with no disrespect. So yeah, fantastic choice. I definitely have to check out that record a little bit more. Is there if you could give maybe a shout or a key track that you think people should listen to from him?
I'm still, when I go into albums, like, I'm usually pretty overwhelmed. I like Impossible. Mm-hmm. That's just because I started editing like a funny video to it. But the message of the song is pretty much like, you know, talking about how many artists there could be in the world, or how many, you know, incredible, people at their best they could be, but how often society or people can, you know, try to dampen that light. So mm-hmm. It's really just a reminder of like, you know, you can do the impossible.
I absolutely love that. Well, I'm going to be checking that album out a little bit more after our chat today. But until then, Keenan, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, and congrats on the Heart Defense mixtape. It is out today.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate. But thank you again for coming onto the pod.
Let's go. Thank you so, so much for having me. Appreciate you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.